This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Charlie Puth.
And, was that you holding attention. A note?
Well,
oh.
No, I was just, I listened to him. He goes,
you really like this Charlie Puth, huh?
I like that song. Don't you like it?
Yeah, it's a good song.
There was
Ben
silence
clearly doesn't.
There
yeah.
up until you saved us, my man.
All right, let's get into a little news. What do we got this morning?
All right, let's go through some of the annual crime statistics. Yay, isn't that fun?
Well, it's necessary. I mean, we need to know.
We need to know, Gareth. And let's begin with turning our attention on hijacking. Which is at its most rampant in the past 10 years, unfortunately. There has been a 14.5% increase in this kind of crime since the 2015 and 2016 annual crime statistics report. On average, 45.8 cars were hijacked per day over the last year.
Yeah.
More than half of these crimes occurred in...
Gauteng.
East Rand.
Gauteng, Ben. Oh, they didn't. I mean, they do break it down to more specifics than that, but we're going to just focus on the provincial level here. So if we look at the numbers, the most number of hijackings, of course, happen in Gauteng province.
Uh-huh.
The number given here is 8,610 hijackings over the past year. Yep. Then in KZN is the next highest province, 3,029. That is quite a big difference from 8,000 to 3,000, right?
Well, I suppose we have more cars in Gauteng, right?
This is also a factor. KZN has more hijackings than the Western Cape, which is third in place. This is then followed by the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, the Northwest, the Free State, and then in absolute last place is the Northern Cape.
Well, they have no cars. They have donkeys there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
not that there's anything wrong with donkeys, Mubs. I'm not disparaging the people of Kwakwa.
But
no, I mean, we are second lowest in terms of the numbers. So I'm okay with my people being on their donkeys. It's fine.
And by the way, who wants to be in a province where they're the most hijackings? That's not something we should be proud of.
It's not a good look.
No.
But the question here is, can there be some sort of point system where you are likely to get out of a hijacking, you know, safely? Because the guys that arrive alive have these tips. And, you know, like different organizations will often have tips.
Yeah.
So do you want to go through some of these tips and see if any of this makes sense to you?
Yeah.
So okay. If approached by a stranger while in your vehicle, you are advised to drive off if possible or use your hooter to attract attention.
So scare them away or get out of the way.
That is what is being advised by Arrive Alive.
Right. Oh, good. What's
sorry,
that?
Sorry, champ. Huh? If there's weapons involved, do whatever you have. Be compliant and get out safely.
Right.
Don't now, make noise or trouble. Just quietly, slowly. Don't make any sudden movements and get out the car.
When approaching a red traffic light at night, slow down so that you reach it only when it turns green. But I mean, if it's late at night or early in the morning for me and I'm practically the only car on the road, I don't even stop at a red light. I just slow down and then I continue. I treat it like a yield.
Enough to sort of get a view on it.
Yeah, just make sure that there isn't an oncoming car in the intersection, but then I just carry on.
I'm with you.
So lock doors, close windows, and do not have bags or briefcases visible in the vehicle. This is while you're driving. So you don't want to have your handbag right next to you on the passenger seat. Or, you know, Ben, don't drive around with your drone in the back seat, for example. You know, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just avoid all kinds of attention. So I mean, make sure that no one is following you, you know, that kind of thing. If you suspect that you are being followed, drive to the nearest police station.
A cool one that's a rule of thumb, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun on something that's already on your list, but useful one is, you know, obviously all cars sort of vary slightly, but a rule of thumb is that if when you're stopping behind a car that's obviously in front of you, mm-hmm. If you can see a little patch of road, even if it, you know, relative to your frame of vision looks like 5 centimeters of tar between the end of the car in front of you and the front of your car, mm-hmm. then in theory you've got enough space to do a little move and get around them. Whereas obviously if you're too close to them, you can't, if you try to go around them, you'll drive into them.
Yes, because the thinking behind that is that if somebody is going to try and block you in, which is sometimes what happens in these hijacking cases, is cars come from nowhere and suddenly you're blocked in. So if you can find a way to leave a little bit of road open for you to make a quick getaway.
Pull a quick move. But yeah. I mean, even people do strategically block you in, but you also kind of just block yourself in. You just get as close as you can in the queue.
Leave a bit of room.
You can't like cock steering wheel all the way in one direction, do wheel spin and flee.
No. Yeah. Good point. Well put.
A little piece of tar.
And then the majority of the police stations where the most crime was reported in the past financial year, because this is another thing that they looked at.
East Rand, as Ben says.
No.
Sandton?
No, again, we're looking at this from a provincial level to begin with.
Well,
the Western Cape first.
I was going to say Western Cape, as they've got gangster problems there of note.
And then Gauteng. Cape Town Central, Joburg Central, and Mitchell's Plain are the busiest three police stations. And this is in terms of the most crime being reported on a daily basis.
Wow. I saw that on the TV news last night. The most dangerous places for murders are still Nyanga Township in the Cape and Umlaas, KwaMashu, Langa. So the Cape and KZN townships, especially the bigger ones, that's where your biggest issues are in terms of murder. That's where most murders take place.
Because no one's going to come and help you.
Yeah.
Like, no one's, there's no way that like the police are going to rush to your aid if you're hard to find.
And I saw Fikile Mbalula. He was saying the right things. He's not unintelligent. He really does have potential, this guy. He's just, if we could get his ego a little bit under control, if he wasn't trying to be so Hollywood, if he hadn't idolized Floyd Mayweather and rappers, and if he idolized like Rudy Giuliani, he could be morphed into something really useful.
Sylvester Stallone in certain roles. Have you?
Yeah, RoboCop.
Have you offered to have him on?
I've spoken to him. I had him on my show when we were still on terrestrial radio, and then we've invited him here three times. He's confirmed three times and then didn't pitch. He had excuses every time, and I just eventually got bored with asking. You know, you don't want to ask anymore because you think, well, maybe he just doesn't want to come, and he's being polite. There are people who can't say no.
Yeah.
But the guy, he was saying in the news last night, you know, lazy cops, not going to tolerate it anymore. The cop unions, if you don't come into line, I'm gonna break you. He was talking like a real, like, action man. But now he has to deliver some action. Otherwise, he's just talking, which is what he did in sport the whole time. Right, Ben?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. You've got experience in your portfolio with Fikile. So do you think that he means what he says?
I think... it's just so different. As you said, there shouldn't even be a sports minister, because what do they really do? With police, yeah, you need action, but you need to know that your structures are in place that you can have action.
If you listen to his speech, I'm trying to find sort of a excerpt from what he said last night, because then you'll understand what I mean. He made sense. It's like, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to fix things. He said cops who in the police stations don't deal with people in a kind, considerate way will be dealt with. He was like, those policemen in the police station work for you as the citizens of this country. They should be pleased to serve you.
Politicians should take a leaf out of that book as well.
Well, you know, this is the ultimate irony. He's talking about crooks and we live in this rogue state and we're going to arrest all the bad guys. Well, start with your boss.
Yeah, I mean, there are obviously glaring problems with police services and that kind of thing in the country. But I have had, like, I like to, you mentioned wanting to, you know, reward good service and acknowledge good service with your story about Kolani, the car guard. That's what, backabuddy.co.za. Mm-hmm. So I have had really good experiences, by and large, at Home Affairs and at police stations, you know, reporting stolen cell phones, that kind of thing. Yeah, you might queue a little bit. But I think, like, people are so quick to take to social media and rant about how it was totally outrageous. Hazel from Houghton, it's like, oh my God, I had to find out what form to fill in and no one would help me. But, like, you know, I stood for longer than the Woolworths queue. It's outrageous. I couldn't even, like, get helped. I had to queue at information to get information like everyone else. So you will queue in that. But, like, I find if you're just nice to people and don't arrive pissed off at them before you've said word one, they're like tend to be quite nice. And I've had a lot of helpful cops in my day.
Yeah, you should probably not use the words "it never used to be like this."
Oh,
yeah, I've heard that once at Home Affairs.
That's just that's something.
That's not a good foot to
lady. You're making this day more difficult than it should be.
But you know what, Gord? To your point, because you know we often get drunk on this thing that makes us all egotistical, where we go in there with, oh well, the customer's always right and I'm always the customer and I deserve excellent service. But we never think about how we treat the service providers.
Totally.
Like I've honestly seen people walking into like anywhere where they need to queue and they immediately rude from the get-go. Yeah. And they're talking down to the people providing mm-hmm. the service to them. We don't really think about how we as customers are treating
yeah.
the people serving us.
And
you see it with waiters often. Like you see belligerent, rude customers and you think to yourself,
completely.
Well, I don't want to serve you. I wouldn't serve you either. Like, what's your problem?
And for you, it's this once-off experience. You expect to arrive at the 24-hour garage store and get your whatever, condoms, cigarettes, whatever it is you're picking up, tea. And you expect like, oh, now like I can't go directly to the queue. I'm in a hurry. This experience has failed me. Like this person that's at the front is responsible for all of this. It's outrageous. This was R7.99 last week and it's R9.99 this week and that's completely outrageous. It used to be R3 when I was young. It's like that person that you're dealing with has nothing to do with the pricing of yeah. the store. Also, if you arrive angry with them before you've made eye contact or said hello, then you are going to get the service you're already upset about before it happens. Like you've manifested mm-hmm. your service premonition.
Yeah.
Right.
Be nice to people until, like, even be like defiantly nice to people. I'm almost facetiously nice to people. Like, you have to really try to piss me off before I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to be like a dick now. But, like, you can almost fight back. When people are trying to be rude dicks to you, it takes away their sting. It takes the sting out of their tail if you're just like, okay, wonderful, thank you. Yes, fine, thanks. No, I will go and fuck myself. Okay, cool. I'll see you a little bit later. I'll go do that and I'll be back. Do you have a moist wipe, perhaps? and you know what? Like, jokes aside, just a little bit of respect and a little bit of human dignity and a little bit of kindness. It really makes a big difference in the life of people that spend their whole day getting scowled at.
Well, listen to you.
You need my pontificating music.
We need your pontificating music.
You're not ready for me.
We missed out on that opportunity.
Here it is. Everybody, let's have a little round of applause for Gord and his pontificating.
If we all just do better in our daily lives and try to love one another, the world will be better
all right,
for
well,
everyone.
Here's another problem with the police at the moment, and this is according to Pop Crew, the police union. They say we currently have a national acting police commissioner and acting DPCI, that's at the Hawks head, that's
DPCI?
The Department of Specialized Crime, the Specialized Crime Unit.
Okay.
Crime Intelligence head is an acting person, so it's like Hollywood, they say. Everyone is acting. And if we can sort that out and actually appoint the right people to these jobs, we wouldn't have the problems that we have from the top down. You need leadership.
I know. If you have an acting someone, then it means that there isn't physically somebody there doing the job that's meant to happen, right?
Correct.
So it's almost like having a vacant spot.
But it means stand-in. The whole idea of it, if I understand correctly, is to avoid having a vacant spot. So like, hey, look, this person is not going to be like permanently in this position, yeah. but while we
but
find
now.
Someone. I don't know why some like South African gangster hip-hop / Kwaito like outfit haven't taken the obvious opportunity to call themselves Pop Crew. It would be cool.
All right.
I don't think that term really weighs heavy in the streets. Yo, I'm from Pop Crew.
It would be ironic.
Yeah, it's got the word pop in it. It's like, bitch, please.
It's too NSYNC-y for me.
Mubs, what do we got in the news?
All right. So yesterday in the Cape Town Magistrates Court, it was all about whether or not there was a fight that ensued hours before Henry Van Breda's mother, father, and brother were all axed to death.
Uh-huh.
Now, one neighbor heard males having a massive fight a few hours before the Van Breda axe murders, while another heard nothing at all. So it's a case of, well, who do you believe?
Well, the nothing at all was Martin Locke. We've already established that. Because he was getting it on with his new wife.
Okay, so
Ben, was he?
Well, yeah, Gareth, he's like in his 70s now. You've got to give the man some peace
How
and quiet.
How old's the new wife?
Younger than him.
Oh,
actually,
the people who did hear things were people going about their daily lives, going, "Wow, they're quarreling more than usual.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Ben? You and your conspiracy theories. Like, sometimes I feel like I do need to rein you in, mm-hmm. because now you're throwing people's names into the mix. So the
Ben is out of control.
Well, what should I do? Should I just say, oh, an ex-sports commentator of long in the tooth was having coitus. Yes.
Long in the tooth.
Okay.
But I mean, surely this is stuff that, like, this is the kind of stuff they ask on day one. Like, hey, neighbors, who heard anything? Like, why is it, okay, in new revelations, police have asked the neighbors if there was noise. And it turns out one says yes and one says no. Great mystery.
I don't know. I mean, isn't
day 400.
Isn't there usually a strategy when you're either the defense or the state in
you
terms
want to
put
of out any and everything?
Okay, so earlier this year, Stephanie Hoff testified for the state.
Oh, Stephanie Hoff.
Yes.
Do you know her?
No, of course not.
She said that she heard aggressive male voices engaged in a fight earlier in the evening before the murders took place. Now, the defense unsuccessfully tried to convince her that no, what you heard were actually the sounds of Star Trek 2.
Oh, really? Oh. They keep bringing this bloody Star Trek 2 into this whole business. Ah, I've got amnesia, but we watched Star Trek 2.
I don't remember anything.
No one has given this much of a shit about Star Trek 2 than this family.
I don't remember what I watched like the day before yesterday. I think, yeah.
So in Star Trek 2, there's heavy arguments. Spoiler alert if you just watched the first one.
This is actually what the defense said. They said, no, what you actually heard there were the fights. Sounds from Star Trek 2, which was being watched in the house.
And as everyone knows, Star Trek 2 is a fighty movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very fighty.
It got an 8 on the fightyometer in Rotten Tomatoes.
This is terrific.
This is one of the best top 10 argument movies of all time.
So that's what happened.
Critics called it gratuitous arguing.
Well, Stephanie called it aggressive male voices. I mean, I haven't seen Star Trek.
Stephanie, no, can you give a shit about Star Trek?
Especially in the family axe murdering in space scenes that there's quite a few of in Star Trek.
There's a lot of that.
That was the testimony that was given by Stephanie earlier.
Oh, my God.
And then yesterday, the High Court heard from another neighbor. This is now Annelise Dalyard. Enter Annelise.
Annelise.
Oh. And she said, I heard absolutely nothing at all. There is no such thing as male aggressive voices that I heard.
Annelise, a recent vibrators purchaser, has also discovered wireless headphones.
a jackhammer enthusiast who had been recently adding to her collection.
She, like Stephanie, was also at home on the night of 26 January.
Shut up, guys. Try to take this seriously. The people have died.
No, just respect to the people who died. I'm laughing at investigators, not murderers.
Now, Annelise said that she heard nothing of a fight before, and she headed to bed at her usual time, between 10 and 10:30, and then got up, as usual, around 5 a.m. to go have her swim. She has a morning swim.
Got up at 5 a.m.?
5 a.m.,
sorry. Yeah, I also heard.
I can't trust this woman.
Ah, that slipped by me. I was like, okay.
It was only later that morning, after dropping her children at school, that she says she became aware that something had gone wrong. And she saw this because there was an ambulance, the police were there, and she's like, oh,
no, what happened?
So at 5 a.m., she realized something was wrong.
Now, under cross-examination, Talyard did concede that there are several buildings between her house and the Fundradar house, which is where the state came in and said, no. There was aggressive male voicing happening last night, and it wasn't because of Star Trek. You probably didn't hear it because you are several buildings away from
the house.
Or maybe
she was also watching Star Trek.
Yo, that's a spanner in the works. Was it like DVD/stream on demand Star Trek, or was it like on Showmax for
may
everyone
just
at
been
the
on
center?
A conventional
Showmax,
channel.
I don't know.
Movie Magic.
Could have been on channel 104.
It was January 2015, so I don't know
you
when.
You could pretty much check what was on TV. I mean, I'm just giving the cops free hints here. They come to me anytime, guys.
And it wasn't a Sunday night, so it wouldn't have been like that big movie night that the 500 million Mnet channels do.
Mabs, Star Trek 2 is not cracking the previous slot.
Yeah. They have that. They have movies all day these days. Remember when there was one movie, it was like at 8. But
the good old days.
Like, I know, okay, to a slightly more serious slant on things, is it legit that the sister, because she's suffering the most here, like, does she fully not remember anything, or do you think she's protecting someone? Do you think she's like so conflicted? It's just like, but I mean, amnesia has for me always been a thing from movies or soap operas. Like, does that legit happen? You do not know what happened.
I think it's very convenient because she seems to have all her other faculties about her. It seems both convenient and perhaps a strategic decision for them to use or not use her in certain situations.
Mm. Also,
the lawyers know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's difficult to say because there's also been a lot of effort to protect the information around the sister. Like, we know very little about her other than the fact that she has this amnesia.
Yeah.
And that's about it, really. Like, they've been very strategic and careful not to, you know, to protect her, to keep her in this bubble,
right,
where we know very little about what her current state is. We know that she went back to school at some point, right? Mm-hmm. She returned to school.
I don't know. That must be hectic.
We know that she's not, like, she was taken in by other family members so that her and Henry are separated.
Yeah.
I don't know if they see each other. Like, I don't know any
this
of that.
This does look like a lot of a lawyer's story, as you were saying, Gareth. Yeah,
the lawyers know what they're doing here. Quiet. It kind of may not be convenient for her to say what we all think that she might have seen, and she might have seen something different. She might not have seen anything at all.
But it's also building this victim case if you just keep quiet and we don't see you in court and. I don't even think I've seen a picture of her, actually.
I just think, like, unless soap opera style amnesia is a legit thing, which it may be, I don't know, I'm not the expert, but unless that's a real thing.
Like trauma cases, yeah.
Unless, I mean, she either doesn't remember at all or she knows what happened.
Mm.
Like, and I'm struggling to, from my own sort of layperson perspective, believe what to believe.
But if you were her, how do you think you would handle the situation that she's in? So you've lost your entire family, but not only that, your remaining family member is the one being accused of taking them
if
out.
If he did it,
like, would you want to be and center?
I can't imagine it, and I don't want to be like, oh, well, that's an easy situation to deal with. Here's how you proceed. But like, if all of my family is gone as the result of the willful, horrific action of the last remaining member of my family, I'm going to be like, yeah.
Okay, so...
No, I want to keep you and cuddle you and stay together like a loving team knowing that you axe murder other family members.
No, I hear what you're saying. But like, for example, you were telling us earlier about, you know, your brother who you consider to be the best human in the world. Mm. If he was Henry, you don't think you would struggle with that? Psychologically...
If he ex-murdered the rest of my family, well, yeah. Our family context is a little bit different. There are one or two where I'd help him ex-murder.
Okay. All but right. Yeah. Moving swiftly along.
Oh, hey, hang on a second. Just on Star Trek 2. It actually got 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a killer movie.
And
rules.
And returned a tidy $86 million profit at the box office.
Mm. Okay. The reason it didn't get into the 90s was because of gratuitous argument scenes.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it says in the blurb here.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Y'all, since we're talking about freaky cases, can I also give you a new one? And it's also happening, goodness, in Stellenbosch.
Wow.
So listen to this. The body of a 61-year-old man has been found in the ceiling of a hospital in Stellenbosch 2 weeks after he underwent surgery at the facility. So this has been confirmed by the Western Cape Health Department.
Oh my God.
So according to the spokesperson, the man was admitted to Stellenbosch Hospital on the 5th of October and underwent abdominal surgery.
Right.
However, he disappeared
dun, dun, dun.
After a nurse who had been attending to him left to fetch clean linen. Like, God bless you, little nurse Mariki. You were just like, let me clean your bed. You come
she
back,
went
the
to
body's
find
gone.
The linen, and he's meanwhile stuck in the ceiling?
So a search party.
What a feeling.
And, oh, no.
When you're dead in the ceiling.
No, guys, no. So a search party and the SAPS were unable to find him. So the spokesperson for the department goes on to say, sadly, the patient's body was discovered 13 days later in an isolated area in the ceiling, which is difficult to reach.
Did he get himself up there?
Wow. Look, there's currently construction work being carried out, the spokesperson continues to say, at the hospital, which also contributed to the difficulty of the search.
I need to move these pipes. Can we just put the body in the ceiling quickly? quickly for a little bit, and we're putting it down.
He's alive at the moment. Like, excuse me, sir, we just need to temporarily move
this.
You.
Is
we have
odd.
To replace three tiles what are under your bed. Can
Do
you
they...
please just go put yourself in the ceiling for a minute?
No, I just don't know.
Do they have a cause of death?
No, they say the circumstances relating to how the patient got access to the ceiling are currently being investigated. So God. The department has conveyed its condolences to the family and is expected to meet with them once an autopsy report has been released. And the report will be discussed with the family.
At this point in time, I'd like to throw it to our solver of all murders and crime, Ben Karpinski. Ben, what happened here?
Guys, this is a mystery. It really is.
Was it the night Star Trek was on? That's the first question you got to ask.
Whenever it's old people, I mean, old people get discarded all the time.
61.
61
dude.
Isn't
that
old.
Not
that
old.
Yeah, but what if he was a grouchy 61? What if he's like a Gareth 61? Huh? So, you really can't draw too much into old people. When young people get discarded, then we've got some issues.
What did you say? Get off my lawn!
Yeah, I mean, okay, so the thing is, presuming he's unbound and doesn't look like he's been assaulted or like restrained, if you're in the ceiling and need some help, I would guess you could bang on the ceiling, shout a bit.
Okay, well, one other piece of evidence
unless it's a Bradar insulated ceiling, which are.
One other piece of evidence that maybe has been forgotten, was the ceiling over a vent in the woman's showers?
Oh, boy.
No,
what are you
no,
saying?
No, I know from personal experience that those ceilings are not the kind of ceilings that can. That you can't bang on and make some noise.
So you guys
typical Hollywood scene that if you go through the certain vents, you can watch the woman showering as a pervert. Or what if
I'm not interested in any of this. What I'm interested in is a body in the ceiling is going to start smelling
after
really
13 days, dude.
Listen, we had a rat. We still don't know where this goddamn thing was. In the production booth, there's a little pod. For 5 months, we tore the floor up. We opened the ceiling up. We pulled panels off the walls. We couldn't find this dead rat. Mm. It might have been the tiniest little thing. It smelt like death.
Yeah.
Can smell it. Now, if a whole human is in the ceiling.
And also after 13 days, man, if you take like a small piece of steak or whatever and put it on your kitchen counter and just wait, after 3 or 4 days, you can't live in your house.
Well, no. That is how we find ourselves at this junction. Because they obviously smelled something a little bit funky, and that led them to the ceiling. Because why else would you go scratching around in the ceiling of a building unless there is something calling your attention to the ceiling?
So that's how they found
his body.
When you perish in the ceiling. I can't stop laughing at that.
What I'm getting is you guys are sort of suggesting that he put himself in the ceiling.
No.
Yes, because if someone put you there against your will, you'd bang on the ceiling and make some noise.
What if
he was
tied up? What if you're very sick?
I think he was killed before, and then he was hidden in the ceiling.
But you said they don't have vibes of murder. They don't. I mean, if there's strangle marks around his neck or like punch
marks on his face. What if the guy...
They just find a guy with no apparent cause of death lying comfortably in the fetal position.
They haven't released
the
autopsy, so we really don't know anything.
So we're speculating on
what was his wife like? Maybe he was like, oh, it's the only place I get peace and quiet. And he was so completely content, he just died.
Does his sister remember anything? Oh, yeah. I tried this at a party once on a certain stimulant. It proved to be dangerous.
It's going on. There's a smell that isn't quite right.
You imagine.
The doctor's trying to do some surgery here. What a feeling. Something's dead in our ceiling.
Oh God, we're still reeling from the stench that's in the ceiling.
Okay.
And that will mark the first time that Dancing in the Ceiling has been played for 20 years.
Thank you very much.
That's our serious take on
that. I mean, that has got to be a song about drugs. It's like Lionel Richie was holding serious drug parties.
Oh, we're still reeling.
It can't be from the stench that's in the ceiling.
Oh, we're still reeling from the stench
that's in the ceiling.
Okay, stop. Oh, God. That's enough. Let's go home.
Please, God, we're all kneeling.
What else?
Yeah. Oh, God, take away this feeling.
Okay, all right. So how many times have we complained in this country about the fact that there's just too many cars? There's too many cars on the road.
Well, yes.
Well, have a listen to how Singapore are dealing with the car congestion in their part of the world. Now, Singapore is one of the most expensive places in the world to buy a vehicle to begin with.
They make it difficult on purpose, right?
Yes, they make it difficult on purpose. I'll get into the details of exactly how they do that in just a second. But now they have announced that they are going to freeze the number of private cars on its roads from next year, but they have vowed that they are going to expand on their public transport. The growth cap for all passenger cars and motor vehicles will be cut from 0.25% a year to zero, with effect from February next year.
Huh.
Now, the affluent city-state has 5.6 million people, and it already imposes a quota on the number of vehicles that get sold every year and the number allowed on its roads, and it has avoided the massive traffic jams that usually choke other Asian cities. Wow. So there is a cap on the number of cars that get sold every year, and also there's a cap on the number of cars that are allowed on its roads. That is quite something.
Yeah, so... So it costs a lot of money just to get a license.
Yes, Ben, that's exactly right.
This is the beauty of being able to have control of a place. Because if this is any other country, you would get opposition going, oh, no, this is terrible. This is ruining the job market in the automotive industry. And then it'll go through parliament for 6 months, nothing will happen. And then you'll end up with traffic. Here, someone says this is going to happen. Everyone says, okay, cool.
So in Singapore, firstly, they make it costly for you to buy the vehicle. Then you must get a certificate of entitlement, which is this equivalent of the license that you're talking about.
Certificate of entitlement.
It has to be valid for 10 years. And the average cost of the certificate of entitlement is around...
There's the thing. Everyone in South Africa already has a certificate of entitlement, no wonder.
I'm listening to this more and more, and I'm just imagining the name of, like, okay, Singapore press briefing for government things this week. We'd like to announce that we've got a new policy for dealing with the traffic. It's called Fuck the Poor, and we're going to use it to keep less people in cars by making it really, really, really expensive.
But public transport is so affordable there and so plentiful.
So efficient.
Incredibly efficient. Like, everything is there.
And that is the only way that this will work, Gord, is because they have said, yes, next year we're imposing even stricter laws on these private cars, but we are going to ramp up our public transport system.
And it's already ramped, trust me.
They're cool people then.
Yeah.
No, it's as cheap as chips. Whatever public transport you want to get onto, so affordable.
And it will get you pretty much anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With minimal waiting.
So this certificate of entitlement apparently costs around 50,000 Singapore dollars, which is
half a million rand.
Basically 50,000 rand. Like 50,387 rand.
Hmm.
And you said it lasts for what, 10 years?
Well, it has to be valid for 10 years, Gord.
Oh, heavy.
And then you still got to pay for the cost of the vehicle, which they deliberately hike up to make it difficult for you to buy the vehicle.
Just imagine Hazel from Houghton with one of those. I'm going to the front of the queue. I've got a certificate of entitlement. Move. Why have you only got 3 tillers open? There's 8 tills. It's because it's 11:04 in the morning on a Monday. We're not busy at this time. That's unbelievable.
Shame.
I might come anytime. You don't know.
You really have it in. Yeah, you really Hazel. Have it in for Hazel, hey?
Okay, listen, before we move on, someone says, good morning, guys. That Stellenbosch story deserved more special sound effects. You guys are really funny when you're stinking up the ceiling. Someone says, after 5 days, juices would start to drip through the ceiling.
Oh, no. And 61-year-old juices at that.
Brings a different meaning to
these
can I taste
juice?
These
are not fresh, young juices.
No, we don't want to taste your 61-year-old dead juice.
Mfundo wants to know, Ben, have you ever considered going into private sports coaching, judging by your knowledge of sport in and out? You'd be very good at that.
Yeah, I would love to, but it's a massive time undertaking. I'd have to spend a lot of time with kids.
Ben, rephrase.
Well, yes, explain yourself, goddammit.
Well, look, I mean, sports coaching, I wouldn't exactly start off at, like, with the adults, would I? I'd have spent a lot of time with kids, and you have to talk with their mothers all day. Ah, well, Stephen's
that
been
can
playing
be
so
awesome.
Well
oh,
in
wait,
the background.
You've got a super hot girlfriend, never mind.
And you go do like compliance things, and obviously I'd have to learn and be trusted with children. No, like a friend of mine does it. He's actually director of sport, and he's gone through the whole process. He's particularly good at this kind of stuff.
What would you coach? Like, what would be your first preference? What would you first, second,
probably,
and third preference?
Probably
of
rugby, because I love rugby. and I love playing it. Golf is a bit too technical, although I wouldn't make it technical. But cricket's also really cool. I'd probably teach, like, just coach fielding, because I think that in itself is an art.
What do you have against synchronized swimming, Ben? I mean, what is your problem?
The smell of chlorine every day.
All right, someone says, this is interesting, I crashed my car once and I was concussed and I still to this day cannot remember a damn thing. So that's in response to the Marley Van Breda situation.
I'd be interested to know if this person doesn't remember a damn thing in the build-up or just from the moment of impact and for a period afterwards. Like, in terms of before and after the impact, how long are we not remembering?
I was surprised to hear that Cape Town has a higher murder rate than Johannesburg. I grew up in Joburg and got used to watching my back everywhere I went all the time, checking the bushes when I got home. I had a car stolen every year for 3 years in a row. I've lived in Cape Town for 4 years, and although the gangster violence is brutal, you can actually park your car outside your house, and through the night, mostly nothing will happen. My lifestyle's definitely improved in that aspect. You don't seem to see the extent of violence outside the town. So if there's no violence outside the townships, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You live in the 4 square kilometer safe zone where all the money gets funneled into. Also, I lived in Cape Town for 3 and a bit years, and my car got something was stolen. It either got broken into or things were stolen off of it 4 times in just over 3 years. Whereas I've had one car stolen in Joburg from Parkhurst while eating sushi.
We're falling into a common human problem here. Anecdotal personal experience is not the truth. That's why we have to rely on statistics. When the police publish these crime statistics, and everybody always says, oh, well, they're not 100% right. It's an indication. Gives you an idea. And just because you haven't experienced crime in the last 7 years doesn't mean it's going down.
But it also is like an indicator of the kind of Cape Town perception slash, I don't know if zeitgeist is the right word, but like this vibe of, yeah, Cape Town's wonderful. I don't know what that's. So how can it be the murder capital? Nothing bad ever happens here. Yeah. It's like
for
the
me,
City
it's
Bowl
been great.
To Camps Bay is really quite lovely. The rest of the other 4,000 square kilometers of Cape Town has got no sanitation and people kill each other for fun.
Right.
We've got a fart crom.
Strat, but
apparently there are places in China that charge 150,000 rand just for the license plate on your car because it's so expensive to drive there. I don't know if that's true. I've never heard that before.
Places where?
China.
Where is it?
China. Mark says, hey guys, I honestly believe that it is incumbent upon you as a team to solve the Stellenbosch ceiling mystery. You have to put more effort into this.
Oh, dispatch the young journalistic intern field journalists.
I'm basically hearing that we didn't do a good enough job. That's what I'm hearing.
Hey, this is the first we heard of it.
Give us time.
Give us a chance.
Also, I think there's an opportunity here, and I don't want to be making any executive decisions, just a suggestion, but you could begin like an internship program and say, okay, young budding journalism students, go investigate this, and if you have any interesting findings, we'll come on and you can present them, and it can be part of your studies that you've got like published journalism.
Solve the murder in the ceiling.
We've got a feeling.
Interns in the ceiling. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
All right. We got to work on the lyrics, but we'll get that right.
we must write the whole song with four verses, 2 bridges, and 3 choruses.
We will. We'll write the whole goddamn. We're going to do that.
In breaking news.
Just give us a second.
Take a second. Sure. No. We've got a whole thing here. Yeah, we're very professional. Yeah. Yeah. Here it is.
In honor of Mr. Gary Player's upcoming birthday, last year he turned 81 and people were urged to do 81 sit-ups. This year we are going to plank for Player. 82 seconds of planking to just get your torso into gear, because that is how Mr. Fitness will be honored this year. That is breaking news, and you've heard it.
It's not breaking news at all.
Do we also have to punch ourselves in the chest repeatedly like he does?
Let's not stretch it.
I have this
just plank for Player.
I have this imaginary like version in my head of what GC's life is outside of the show. Like I've jawled with you enough times to know how that goes, although I think we've both mellowed a bit in our old age. But other than that, it's like while you're not studying like political structures of ancient civilizations and like the etymology of random words nobody knows, you are like sitting trawling the internet for a sound effect for
breaking
anything,
news, a monster.
Anything.
All right, shut up, Gord. On the line, on the line, we've got Palesa. What's up, Palesa?
Hi, Gareth.
You got to speak up for me. It's a bit quiet on your line. Go on.
Okay. I enjoyed the discussion that you guys had on spanking children.
Yes.
And it reminded me of something that you once said in like an old podcast. You, my darling, had a news story out of Krugersdorp, and you said, remember, guys, that Krugersdorp is a place where parents tie their children to the gate to protect the dog.
Where what? Where I said, yeah, that's a long-held belief of mine, and I have driven through Krugersdorp once or twice. I have seen children tied to the front gate. It does happen.
What?
It's a very rough neighborhood, Krugersdorp.
Wow, the things that you say sometimes.
You think that's very politically incorrect, Palesa?
No, it's just crazy.
All right. By the way, I saw quite a lot of response. Black Twitter went crazy when government told parents that they're not allowed to hit their children. Black Twitter went ape. It was madness.
You cannot get in the way of a black mother wanting to discipline her child.
There was a woman, I saw a comment, this woman said, F government, don't you interfere in the way I raise my children. And then there was a whole lot of vernac I didn't understand, but it looked like it was angry vernac. She was pissed off. You've never seen anything like it. And then there, people were retweeting other people saying, government, step off. This is not your territory. You can't even run education properly. How are you going to raise my child? Don't tell me what to do with my children. It was hectic.
Gareth.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite comments was on Facebook. Someone said, which government department should I drop my child off at so that they can raise my child for me?
Exactly. There we go. That's beautiful. All right, Palesa, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Cool. There's Palesa. Back to the news. Mubs, what else is going on?
Well, Silicon Valley social media are having all kinds of pressure put on them, Gareth.
It's about time.
Well,
they've put pressure on the rest of us for so long.
Yes, this is indeed true. So yesterday, Twitter announced that they are now going to be adding labels to election-related advertisements.
Hmm.
And they say they'll also be revealing to you, as the person seeing these adverts, who is behind the advert. And this is after a threat of regulation from the United States over the lack of disclosure for political spending on social media. This has turned into a very big conversation.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
Yeah.
Now, Twitter, after a month, or rather acting a month after Facebook launched a similar overhaul of political ads, say that they're going to start a new website so that people can see identities of buyers, you'll be able to see targeting demographics, and total ad spend by election advertisers.
Good.
Yeah.
We need to know who's paying for what. You know, there was a time where people used to say that they were promoting something on social media. Do you remember? Like people would say this is an ad, or mm-hmm. they'd have in brackets advertisement or PR or
it does
ad
still
or
to an extent, but people can just get on there and say bloody anything.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people who, I'm going to use this term as loosely as possible, call themselves brand ambassadors for things. Putting out like obviously paid for stuff, but they're trying to make it seem like it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they damage their own credibility.
Mm. Trying to make it organic sharing.
Promo Twitter is also a massive thing. So, you know, for example, as a promoter of some event, you get a bunch of girls with really hot avatars where they're half naked in them, and you ask them, please just tweet about this thing that's happening at my club this weekend.
Right.
And then I'll pay you X amount of rent. It's
in the fitness industry, it's a big thing, like models and you know, bodybuilders and all of those people who are followed by who are sort of icons and role models in that industry. They just have product in their pictures, because their thing is, I'm going to post pictures of me flexing all day anyway, because that's what I do. And the girls are like, I'm going to post pictures of me posing wearing very little clothing. Mm-hmm. anyway, because that's how I have my 1.5 million followers. And then there's just like Nitro, Vaso Exploded, Dragon Sweat 10,000 in the picture. Just like, okay, and they're getting paid. Like, it's just in every picture.
Yeah.
Right. It just happens
to be. Ass out, splayed over the kitchen counter, ready to be mounted. And it just so happens that what was prepared last looks as if it was Vaso, Dragon Sweat, 9,000 Exploder.
So just to bring it back to politics for a second, these social media firms and the political ads that they run on their websites have generally been free of the disclaimers and other regulatory demands that U.S. authorities impose on television, radio, and satellite services, right? Yeah. But now calls for that to change have grown. And this is after Twitter, Facebook, and Google admitted in recent weeks that Russian operatives and affiliates bought ads and used fake names on their services to spread divisive messages in the run-up to the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Russia, of course, continued to deny this, but Twitter, Facebook, and Google have said in recent weeks that, yes, this is something that they noticed on their platforms.
Yeah, back in the day when I made magazines, when those were still a thing, we had to explicitly say in any paid editorial content, it had to say advertorial or paid editorial, not hidden in the gutter. It was there
right,
at the top.
It had to be at the top. A couple of comments. Someone says, Transnatel Glass is in Krugersdorp. That place is great. Well, that's terrific.
Did that say paid editorial
that
at the
says
top
paid
of it?
Editorial. There we go. And somebody else says here, the kids are really like Trump and Kim in a sense. But true, Ben, parents' involvement, no. So basically, more people coming to Ben's defense that really any problem child, the parents must be blamed and must go to jail. That's what Ben always says. And Greg says, that person who was on the line, that person who, I can't even figure what person.
You can't read today. I don't know what else you can't do.
You remember that book, Gangtown? We interviewed the guy about Gangtown, about how Cape Town's really two cities in one. I think what he's referring to is that comment from the guy who said, oh, well, he doesn't feel like Cape Town crime is as bad as Joburg because in his personal experience, that isn't how it's been. But thank you, Greg. You make a good point. That book, Gangtown, is like required reading for anyone. And you can go and listen to the podcast. So if you're the person who sent that message about how you think crime is better in Cape Town, and, you know, we didn't mean to go on the offensive with you. That's your experience. Not necessarily true objectively, but it's your experience. Go and listen to that podcast of the guy who wrote Gangtown. It's fascinating. He did all the research around how these gangs work, where in Cape Town it's supposedly safe, where in Cape Town it isn't, who it involves, what the police can do, what they can't do. It's a really, really interesting little expose.
There's that gang boss guy that like they're just trying hard to kill.
Yes,
like,
the last
on
attempt
killing
was,
him hard.
Was at the airport, right? The last time they tried in the
hospital.
What?
So, and I read this.
Is this after the airport attempt?
A male gangster, yes. While he was hospitalized in order to be treated for the airport attempt, a male gangster dressed as a female doctor, white overalls, high heels, wig, makeup, and with a syringe full of black mamba poison. Venom.
You're kidding.
I read this on the internet. It must be true. But no, I mean,
was it from Tisson?
This was shared with me by my. They showed pictures of the
slung venom and say suck.
So because he was looked like a harmless female doctor, he got quite close before this dude's like muscle guys noticed something was up and jumped him. Then they beat him to within an inch of his life, and there was pictures of the fake doctor suit and of this dude looking like he'd had severe beatings.
That's a pretty gangster way to kill someone.
I mean, look, history suggests, and when in doubt go to history, if you want to kill a gangster, just reform Pachad. And you get those old tunnies in the street that'll set fire to your car and stuff. That's how they got rid of Stucky. And he was the last big guy.
Assemble the tunnies.
All against gangsters and drugs.
Naming. Because you lassie.
The Skillamochis come out there with the girlers and they fucking knife you.
Yeah, it's true. You got to be careful of those mochis.
It's hardcore there though, like late at night when you're stumbling home from the jaw, that's when like you realize there's some shit going on in Cape Town, because I've had knives pulled on me, stuff
Have
stolen
you?
Yeah, attacked in a Woolworths. It's hectic.
Oh, I remember your story about Woolworths. Alright, almost time for us to wrap up with the unnews, and then we go to our guest for this morning, Grant Hines, who's a very successful South African YouTuber. He's done so well with it that he's actually relocated to London. He works with Casper Lee, Connor Maynard, all of those dudes, Joe Suggs, and trying to get their YouTube numbers up. They get paid for their content by YouTube. That's how well they're doing. Like millions of subscribers in each case.
He has cool hair.
Yeah, and Grant has many colors of hair. In fact, at the beginning of the interview, I think I was quite rude about his hair.
Oh.
And he was, no, but he was very, he was nice about it. He was quite sort of, oh, well, Gareth, you're allowed to have your fun, but you're still a douchebag kind of nice way. Because I am. I totally accept that. All right, so that's Grant Hines. That's coming up next. Let's get to the unnews, shall we? Is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sitting comfortably? Here's what you need to know. The South African crime stats are out and it makes for grim reading. Hijackings, murders, robberies, sexual assault are up, but politician captures are down. This, however, is mostly due to the fact that the Guptas have enough right now to do their dirty work. In other news, speaking of state capture, Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma wants to play the role of judge and jury in the official investigation around him. Speaking exclusively to ANN7, he said that nobody knows more about state capture than he does. So he's entitled to complete and utter control of the matter.
And he has the most inside knowledge around the goings-on of the suspect.
There we go.
Who better to tell you what's
right.
been happening.
So it makes sense. Stands to reason. And Gary Player's 82nd birthday, as Ben told us, is fast approaching. To honor this, people are urged to plank for Player for 82 seconds. This is a terrific initiative that the whole family can be involved in. And if your children cannot last all of 82 seconds, they must be fat and therefore discarded into the street, according to Gary Player.
And reasoned with, as opposed to spanked.
Mr. Player just keeps lifting society up at every stage of his life. What a hero. Ben wrote that last line.
I wonder if he's celebrating by doing a triathlon for his birth, for his 82nd birthday.
God, come on. I mean, the guy does everything every single day. Everything.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be
name
a birthday to be a triathlon
day. It doesn't have to be a birthday to do these things.
He single-handedly brought down apartheid, don't you know?
For his birthday, he's going to do his triathlon holding a massive bag of carrots and donate them to fat kids around the country.
All right.
After a stern talking to.
Grant Hines next.
This is CliffCentral.com.